As students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest and most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all of these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. In addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from the folks at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. You can sign up for free at this special website for a limited time at dana4hillsdale.com. And you can look forward to Imprimis each month. It's interesting, useful, and free, and it's one of the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale College and sign up for Imprimis at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
We turned this city around in 20 months. And then what happened? Started with a madman down in Texas, decided he wanted to bus people up to New York City. 110,000 migrants. We have to feed, clothe, house, educate the children, wash their laundry sheets, give them everything they need, health care. And this team here, we stated, let's do everything possible before we have to push it out into neighborhoods and communities.
So that's Mayor Eric Adams, who went on this big rant where he blasted, he said, I don't think he said MAGA Republicans. He said Republicans. And then when he's talking about the madman down in Texas, he's talking about Texas Governor Greg Abbott and the busing of people who entered the country illegally up to New York. And he went off on this huge thing. There were more parts of his speech that were a little bit concerning. I got to say, they were just a tad bit concerning. I mean, there's some people, even on the left, they're a little bit freaked out by some of the stuff that he was saying. So we're going to dive in. That's what we're going to start with today. We have a lot of stuff to hit. First off, welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of this very first hour today. And it is Thursday, so it's, you know, it's a weird day. It feels like a Wednesday because we had Labor Day on Monday. So you can listen coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program as well at YouTube, Facebook. Always good discussion at YouTube, Channel 347, DirecTV. So there, if you get the newsletter, the email prep, which you should, if you subscribe over at Substack, you already got all this stuff. You got all this stuff. You know what's coming down the road today because there were some moves made last night in terms of energy. There's been moves in terms of student loans. Democrats they're scrambling a little bit, and we're going to get into some of that. Of course, you know, we got, you know, the requisite 2024 stuff. But first up, as it relates to immigration, and we're coming off of this Eric Adams speech, which he went off on this madman in Texas talking about the Texas governor. I just thought it was ridiculous what he said, because New York, they advertise themselves as a sanctuary state. You know, Eric Adams said that it's a sanctuary state, and they really, the way that they talked about themselves being a sanctuary state, they did it in a way to shame other people for not having their policies. But what we're learning is that it kind of seems like their policies are for show. For show. So they get, what did they say? They said they had like 150,000, I think is what they were saying, in terms of the number of illegal immigrants that they'd had that arrived in New York. Okay, do you know, y'all know how many Texas has been dealing with? Several million. You know Del Rio? Y'all want to know how many they deal with? I mean, it's crazy. And he's freaking out because he's, at for one time, is getting just a little bit of what Texas border towns have been dealing with. You're kidding me. You're kidding me. I just, that to me, I thought they were a sanctuary city. I mean, that's how they were advertised. So he was going off on this rant. And then he was going off. We have audio soundbite 19. This is where he went further. He was saying, oh my gosh, it's destroying New York City. Listen to this.
We're here. We're getting no support on this national crisis. And we're receiving no support. And let me tell you something, New Yorkers. Never in my life have I had a problem that I did not see an ending to. I don't see an ending to this. I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City. Destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month.
You know what gets me? He's like, oh my gosh, it's going to destroy New York City. This is going to, he's getting just a taste. Just a taste of what border towns in Texas have had to deal with. He tweeted back October 20th, 2021, quote, we should protect our immigrants, period. Yes, New York City will remain a sanctuary city under an Adams administration. All right? You're a sanctuary city. This comes with, what did you think? Did you think that you weren't going to have to do anything? Did you think that you could hold a policy position and never be called upon to actually try it out, to actually put it to practice? Of course they did. That's why you get the term limousine liberal. You get these progressives that pretend to have so much compassion and such a heart for people, but when push comes to shove, they really don't. And you're seeing it here. This is not a border state problem. And this is where Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott, Texas governor, they've done very well with this. Because it's not a border, and it shouldn't be a border state problem. You want to talk about grifting and welfare and entitlement? For all of these states that proclaim that they're sanctuary states, or these metropolitan areas that proclaim that they're sanctuary cities, it is the ultimate grift. These people are able to wrap themselves in the veneer of compassion due to the hard work and sacrifice of everybody else who live by the border. These blue state self-appointed elitists up in New York and Maryland and D.C. who wrap themselves up in this veneer of compassion. We care about people who come to the country. We're a sanctuary city. We're a sanctuary state. They are afforded that cosplay by the sacrifice of people in Del Rio, by the sacrifice of people in McAllen, by the sacrifice of people in hot sectors in border towns all across the southern border. Those people have been paying the cost. They've been footing the bill for everyone else to pretend. And now the bills come due for these people. It's come due for New York City. It's come due for Eric Adams. And they're bitching about it. Oh my gosh, I can't believe we'd have to do 1/8 of what all these other people have been doing for decades. Well, now it really isn't a border state problem anymore, because we will make it your problem. If we can't enforce our laws, by God, we're going to make it your problem. If you're going to make it to where we have an issue with millions of people coming across our border, we're going to make it your problem. We have cartels that we're dealing with because of an unenforced border. We will make cartels your problem. We will make opioids your problem. We will make people who enter illegally your problem. You're not going to grift off of the back of hardworking people. And can I just add one other thing? Because I know the left loves to play racial politics. But racial politics are alive in immigration. Look at Martha's Vineyard, comparable to Del Rio. They had 50 people who entered illegally, sent up to Martha's Vineyard. Now, I know, conservatives, bear with me, because if there's one thing that I love to do, it's to take the politics and the identity cards that the left uses and show them how ridiculous they are to use it in the first place. I hate that I even have to explain it, but we live in this era. But racial politics are alive in immigration, because the people who complain the loudest about it are coddled urbanites People like Eric Adams. You know that he lives in the nice part of Manhattan. Lives in the governor's mansion. All of these white progressive trust fund socialists that always say that they're all about sanctuary. But oh my gosh, they don't want to have to be by these people. That's how they think. That's what you saw in practice in Martha's Vineyard. They are fine with people at the border dealing with it. And what they don't realize, because they don't ever leave the Tupperware fresh environment of their urban dwelling, is that, you know, people who live at the border and Border Patrol are predominantly Hispanic. And it's Hispanic Americans that really dislike illegal immigration almost more than anybody. Because why should someone else get to cut in line when you've done all the hard work of doing everything that you're supposed to do, filling out every form, crossing every T, dotting every I? And then you got these people up in Martha's Vineyard, pinkies out, mimosa land, that make it harder for everybody else at the border. That's the racial politics in it. You got a bunch of white trust fund socialists up in Manhattan and coddled urbanites who think that predominantly Hispanic border towns should have to pay the cost for all of this. There's your racial politics in this. Now, to this point, yesterday, after we were off air, this news came out. A federal judge has ordered Texas to remove the floating barriers aimed at deterring illegal entrants, and it bars the state from building new buoys on the Rio Grande. Now, you remember these. We had the Texas governor on about this. By the way, his statement yesterday is they're going to appeal this. Here's this judge. These are the ones where they put these, and they're movable. They're not permanent structures. They put these giant buoys in the water to stop people, because some of the for the people who've never been to the border, there are parts of the Rio that you can literally just like walk across. It's like almost a creek. You can walk across it, and they're really hot sectors. And they put these buoys up in some of the places where it's more shallow and the current is a lot calmer. They put these buoys up to deter these crossings as a force multiplier. And Abbott said he's not asking for permission. It's all part of Operation Lone Star. Here's my thought. I think I would have a lot of respect. And I like that the governor's appealing this. Why should we and make us? Bring your happy asses to Texas and you come and make us take this out of the Rio. You know, if the federal government can disregard immigration law, well, then we're going to disregard your illegal edict. I had somebody tell me, well, what are you going to do? You're going to join the National Guard and go down there and face off against the federales? No, I actually believe in George Mason's philosophy. When he was asked, who are the militia? And he said, it is the whole of the people, every man and woman. I kind of like that approach. But I'm done with this. If I were the Texas governor, I would say, okay, yeah, we're going to appeal it, but you come and make us. Come and make us. And then have a buoy on the flag a la Alamo and then challenge them. I still would like to see that. We got a lot more in store because here's what's up. Yesterday I told you about Saudi Arabia extending the cut on gas. Well, now Biden has suspended all leases for drilling up in the Arctic. We're going to discuss that and the impact that's going to have on energy. We're also going to get in on another hurricane we're all watching, Hurricane Lee. It could become a Cat 5. It's still out in the Atlantic. It's uncertain where it's all going to go. We're going to follow that. We got a lot of stuff to hit today. Also with the student bailout stuff. And of course, how can you forget Hunter Biden? House oversight, the evidence that they have on that. Plus, apparently now an indictment is coming by September 29th, related to that gun charge. We're going to unpack that for you as well, so you don't want to miss a single bit of the show today. We got a lot to get you updated on. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so first up, this this is crazy. I was actually watching some of this a little bit earlier this morning. Danilo Cavalcante, a manhunt expanded for this escaped killer after multiple confirmed sightings. So this dude escaped, this 34-year-old, he escaped prison in Chester County last week. People have been seeing him literally on trail cameras. Like spotted him on trail cameras walking around. They saw him on Monday night walking around Longwood Gardens. Police conducted a search of the area. They weren't able to find him yet. He was seen entering a couple of different properties. So he's still in Pennsylvania. But my goodness, they're like warning people to be on the lookout. And this is just crazy. Yeah, he's actually spotted on trail cameras. They gave a detailed timeline of his escape, saying that a tower officer did not see nor report his escape. The dude climbed a wall in the exercise yard and then pushed through a razor wire, ran across the roof, threw more razor wire, and then left the prison. This is just a crazy story. I saw this headline and I thought, big deal. I made a whole human out of McDonald's cheeseburgers and SpaghettiOs because that's literally all I could keep down for 4.5 months. Scientists grow a whole model of a human embryo without sperm or egg, although there's a caveat to that. They said it's like supposed to be a real 14-day-old embryo, but they actually did, though, use, human, they used human eggs, etc., and all of this. So it's they kind of cheated it a little bit, but it's still, I don't think we should be doing stuff like this, honestly. Just because you can doesn't mean that you should. Rotten Tomatoes, totally inflated. In fact, what they discovered is they were paying people to inflate ratings. Are you surprised? Because that's why a lot of the scary movies that are good have bad ratings. Stay with us. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Ever heard of Goldilocks? Remember, bad news is not good news. No matter what they claim to say about Bidenomics, unemployment is still rising, wages remain stagnant, and job numbers are now revised. There's still no soft landing with this plane. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Name me one major issue that we've set our mind on solving we haven't been able to do.
Do we have time in the show to do that? I'm like, I don't know, man. Do we have actual time to do that, to sit down and do all that? I don't know. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash with you. That's the president who said yesterday, well, what's the one thing, name us something that we haven't done, that we set our mind on solving that we haven't been able to. Inflation. I mean, although, you know what, though? The question's weird because it begs the question, his statement does, because it assumes that he wants to solve something. I mean, if you're going to bring up, if I were to bring up the border, for instance, okay, well, that presupposes that he wants to solve the border issue, which neither I nor you believe. So I'm not going to play into that game. No, it presupposes that he actually wants a solution, whether it's to inflation, whether it's to energy independence, whether it's, you know, there's no reason for that. I mean, case in point, I wanted to go to, and this was part of your, again, if you sign up to Substack, chapter and verse, you get really good stuff out of that. And you get it before everyone else because I'm crazy and Lorraine, who writes for the site, is similarly crazy. We find stuff and are able to get it out to you before anybody else does. So the production cut from Saudi Arabia, mentioned this yesterday, right? So they're extending this oil production cut all the way through the end of the year. That's going to keep prices higher at the pump. And they said that now the international benchmark, Brent crude was up 96 cents Tuesday morning following the news, hitting nearly $90 per barrel. It was the cut of a million barrels per day. Now, remember, this was announced back in July, and it was extended into fall, and I told you it was going to be extended again, and it, of course, it's going to be extended all the way through December. That's what Riyadh announced yesterday, or sorry, Tuesday. Total production around 9 million barrels per day for the final 3 months of 2023. Now, these are separate from the broader the production schedule for OPEC. OPEC says that they're not going to make any further cuts for the remainder of the year. But Saudi Arabia is the single largest producer within OPEC of oil. So that's going to affect, obviously, it's going to affect us. It's going to make it harder to fill up your tank. It's going to make it, you know, more expensive. And it's still hot outside. And then we're going to go into winter. All of this is designed, and the reason why, so take this, first off, set that up. You got that. Set that on the table. Now let me hit you with this. So now you have the Biden administration that's canceling all oil and gas leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Now this was something that the previous administration was trying to undo. They were trying to get it to where we could be a little bit more energy independent and be able to use all of our go after all of our resources. And I want to add too. Again, there's a difference between environmentalism and conservationists. Environmentalists are, it's a cult. It's a religion full of stupid people. I'm just going to be incredibly frank about it. They are the dumbest people on God's green earth. And just like you have people like Eric Adams in New York who profess this fake compassion for people who enter the country illegally and call where they live sanctuary cities, so too is it the same with environmentalists. They profess this love for Mother Earth and nature, but they do the stupidest things that actually do more harm. Like it was literally environmentalists who decided we don't want any completely fail-safe. We don't want any super safe pipelines transporting crude all the way under the earth, avoiding all the aquifers, going down to Houston. We don't want that. We want it to go on rail, using more coal to transport it. Environmentalists are the people who are like, we don't want clean extraction of gas or oil. We want to completely depend on land stripping of rare earth elements, creating toxic byproducts that kill entire villages in China. We like that. That's what environmentalists do. Conservationists are like, how are we able to extract these resources while leaving the land pristine? I have friends who work that I went to school with, I went to high school with, who work in oil and gas. And they were like this super sciencey engineer. Like one of my friends who works in oil and gas now, literally that's one of the problems that they have to, that's what they do. They're an engineer and they have to figure out what is the most efficient, affordable, and less intrusive way to extract resources from the ground. That's what they figure out because they want to make sure that there's stuff left. They want to preserve to make sure there's stuff left. This is the philosophy that farmers who are, you know, the original conservationists, farmers and ranchers have, right? You take care of the land because the land takes care of you. It's a symbiotic relationship. Environmentalists don't look at it like that. That's how conservationists look at it. And so going to this, the way that this has always been approached is how can we extract these resources in the least intrusive way possible? And make it to where, you know, again, you take care of the land takes care of you. That's the philosophy. And this is what previously, under the last administration, we were exploring. So now The Biden administration announced yesterday they're going to prohibit drilling in 13 million acres in the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska, canceling all leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Now, this, they say these are your maximum protections. But here's what's interesting. Biden approved an $8 billion oil drilling project in the same vicinity this year. And of course, that's just kind of interesting if you look in the relationship with that. I do think it's interesting. He greenlit that project. And that's in the North Slope, Alaska's North Slope. It's on three sites. ConocoPhillips, that was announced. That was something that they did this spring, that they announced this spring. And so, but they're not, we don't have any, there's no commitment to any expansion or improvement of any refineries. And we still, I mean, if you really want to talk about Green New Deal, there's still no effort to at all whatsoever fast track any of the permitting for mines for rare earth elements. I mean, I think they're just still surveying things. It's crazy. And that takes, I think, anywhere from, we talked to experts about that before, anywhere from like 8 to 9 years to get that off the ground. So here you have the administration that's canceling all 13 million acres, canceling all of this. And this, that's going to keep, it's going to keep prices high. We're not going to be adding anything to the world market. We're also not going to be adding as becoming a net exporter as we were under the previous administration. All of this is designed to keep you broke and unable to fill your gas tank up, so you stop relying on oil and gas and you get rid of your car. That's what all of this is about. They want you to migrate over to super expensive electric vehicles. Now, I told you before, I love gadgets. If people weren't preaching to me about EVs, I'd probably have one. But I get so rebellious when people try to condition behavior through the marketplace to get you to act in a way that they would like, that I want to act opposite to that. So I went and I literally bought the biggest blanking gas guzzler I could get that gets like 0.2 miles to the gallon. I'm not kidding you. Like, it is egregiously offensive and I love it. Oh my gosh. Love gas and oil. Yeah. But the whole point is that this is all about conditioning you. It's behavioral conditioning through the marketplace. And that's not a free market. Lorraine sends this story in. Check this out. So, you know, in Florida, after the hurricane came through, and this happened after Ian, too, because there was a fire that started in a parking garage that was from an EV. The Palm Harbor Fire Department, they were telling everybody who had EVs, that came into contact with salt water to park away from the structure or other vehicles, because they said, look, there are EVs that are catching on fire. And the days and weeks after the storm, I just want to highlight that again, days and weeks after the storm, they said, Carfax, they had their spokesperson, they said, y'all need to understand the fire risk doesn't just go away when your vehicle dries out. They said the salt water that's flooding can get into the battery and dry there. And once it dries, it creates what federal safety officials call bridges between cells, which leads to fires. And those fires can come anytime from days to a week later. And once an EV catches on fire, it's very difficult to put it out. So I'm just saying. So they want you to, everybody to get into these EVs, and that are super expensive. The batteries cost as much as the vehicle to replace. Most people can't afford them thanks to Biden inflation. So, but gas and oil are plentiful and they replenish, and it's affordable energy. In a way, this is class warfare. I mean, not in a way, it is. I mean, it is class warfare. It's class warfare against people who can't go out and buy EVs. And also, can I just say, they're ugly as sin. They're ugly. They're so ugly. I'm sorry if you have one. I'm not judging you. And I say this as a gadget lover. That's why I'm like, if people weren't so preachy about these things, it's like the people who drive EVs are similar to the people who are keto or the people who are go to Burning Man. They all tell you about it. Yes, I was at Burning, and they never shut up about it. Yes, I'm keto. Oh no, I was at Burning Man. I drive an EV. They just nonstop. Or CrossFitters. I'm sorry, CrossFitters, but you know you do that. All my friends who CrossFit don't shut up about it. So that's the truth of the matter. So anyway, that's what this whole push is. The whole push is this. And we're going to be more dependent upon either what, OPEC or China. Great job, Biden. Great job. Now, can we talk about, we're going to dive into this here coming up, but just to whet your appetite. So the gun charge, I was looking at the, hold up, this is the status report. I was looking through the status report of this because now they're saying, oh, look, interesting. The son likely faces a gun charge for that could land him in prison for up to 10 years. Now, this would not even be speculation if it was anybody else. You guys know this. If this was anybody else that had lied on a 4473, anybody, then you know that they'd already be in jail. They'd already be in jail. But they're not, because it's Hunter Biden and it's D different. You guys know how that works. Come on. You guys know how this works. It's D different. So we're going to dive into this and unpack what could happen here, because they said that it could, it's going to be by September 29th, which, by the way, happens to be right around my birthday. I cannot think of a better birthday present for me. I mean, this is so great for me to have Hunter Biden charged with the firearms offense on my birthday. Oh, yay! Yay me! I'm so happy. Aren't you so glad I had my birthday? Oh, my goodness! So happy about that. I know I shouldn't engage in schadenfreude. It's against gospels, but just indulge me for a second, okay? We got a lot more on the way. We got Days of These United States, and then, of course, we got our Florida man, but we're going to unpack this. We're going to give you some of the latest as what you can expect with Congress, because now the Senate is trying to, I don't want to say pick up the slack. That's not the right way to put it. The Senate is trying to go where the House won't act, over the budget battle. So the Senate's now trying to figure out ways that they can act. We're going to give you the update on all that.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I have COVID. I just have COVID. I'm still testing positive, apparently. I have to have a clear test before I can come back. So, I can't wait to get back and hang out. But until then, it's me and my mask, and I'm sort of confined to my room.
Okay, why is this chick wearing a mask at home by herself doing a... You know what? That's like the question that smart people would ask, but we live in a stupid world. It would be smart to not even do that in the first place. Woman is masked up in an empty room all by herself calling in because I guess she thinks the Rona could like go through the atmosphere and infect people at the studio. I don't get it. That was Whoopi Goldberg calling into The View. I don't understand this at all. Welcome back to the program. I don't understand that. It's weird to me. It's weird. We're not doing this again. We are not doing this again. Not doing it. I mean, we saw how insane. I mean, you saw, we went through all of these, not just studies about how the masking doesn't work, but how it's actually bad for you. Right? You all remember, what was that grody? I sent it out to you before. And in one of the email preps, and someone was like, I clicked on this link and I saw the pictures and it was gross. I can't unsee it. Because they were doing tests of all the stuff that accumulates. Even if you change it like twice a day or three times a day. I can't remember how many times they said in the study they changed it. But they tested the bacteria and the ugh that accumulates on the mask throughout the day. And they're like, this is even like as if not more dangerous than what you think you're trying to prevent. It was goofy. I mean, it's nothing but it's a pacifier. It is. It's all it is. I mean, it's like a again, behavioral conditioning. Never again. Never again. Nana got so mad because, you know, some of the older women, you know, and especially if they're older women and they like wearing their lipstick, they did not like to wear the mask because it messed it up. And Nana was like, I got a new lipstick and I can't even wear it because it's stupid. She was mad about it. And a great aunt was real mad. Great aunt had a Chanel red and always wore red lipstick. She didn't wear any other makeup. She always wore red lipstick. And she would get so hopping mad about having to put a mask on. She cussed somebody out in a L'Occitane because they demanded that she cover. And she was like, I have a red lip. I'm not putting a mask on. This elderly woman cussed him out in a L'Occitane because they were going to make her mask up. She's like, I ain't doing this. She's like, I'm the one you should be most concerned about because of my age. And I'm telling you, I'm not doing it. Yeah, I don't think any kind of mandate is ever going to go over again. I'm just telling you, at least some of the women on my family ain't going to have it. They'll probably take care of it for everybody at that point. All right, so coming up, second hour, so what we got? We're going to dive into what we can expect from this. It looks like an indictment for baby, infant, newborn child Hunter Biden by September 29th. We're going to talk about that. Tons of other stuff. Stick with us. More of The Dana Show coming up. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. Someone's asking to see this question.
So first of all, I did not allow anything with that. Well, listen, excuse me. I'm not going to let you accuse me of committing criminal activity. I am not going to take that. I am not going to take that. So you should, you want to have a civil conversation, that's one thing. Try to say that I'm letting, that guy was Baker acted. He should have been ruled ineligible, but they didn't involuntarily commit him. And so they weren't. No, there is the truth. There is something about the truth. It's not everyone doesn't have their own truth. No. You don't get to come here and blame me for some madman. That is not appropriate, and I'm not going to accept it.
Good for him. Yeah. Good for him. That's Governor Ron DeSantis, who is not having it. He was falsely accused of being a murderer and enabling the Jacksonville killer by an audience member. And guess how Politico and the media are trying to spin this right now? The headline, DeSantis lashes out at audience member. That's actually the headline. DeSantis lashes out at audience member over Jacksonville shooting. And the media is trying to drum this up like DeSantis is so mean. He attacked this individual. Now, why didn't Politico say audience member lashes out at totally innocent dude because he disagrees with him about, you don't get to call. I know a little something about this. Welcome to the show. Top of the second hour, Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. You can watch YouTube and Facebook. Always good discussion at YouTube and Channel 347 DirecTV for the simulcast. Yeah, I know a little something about constantly being called a murderer by people who disagree with me about firearms. Know a little something about that. So DeSantis is at this, giving remarks, and he was at this. This was in, where was this at? It was, this had to do with the Jacksonville shooting, the killer in Jacksonville. And the audience member accused DeSantis of, quote, allowing people to hunt people like me. And he said that he accused them of giving weapons to hateful people, basically accused them of being a murderer and enabling the Jacksonville killer. DeSantis is absolutely right there. First off, you don't have the right to call someone a murderer just because you disagree with them on things. I was on CNN and I got into it with what's her face, Allison Camerota, because she had allowed, and I watched it on her program, person after person, to say that I paid murderers and I was paid by the gun lobby and I enabled murderers, and I took her to town over that. And she got, and I'm not moving a bit, because you don't have the right to call anybody. And first off, if you want to talk about courtesy, if you were going to start the conversation with the offense of accusing someone of being a murderer, do not expect a courteous response in return. Because people who begin conversations like that, or who at any point in the conversation inject such a false accusation like that in the middle of the discussion, they are not interested in goodwill. They are not interested in honest debate. They are not interested in solutions. They're nothing more than bomb throwers, and that's it. And political zealots. That's it. So he was absolutely right to say, no, you don't get to do this. You're not going to make false accusations and accuse me of crimes. And the guy apparently who raised this issue apparently didn't know the story, because DeSantis was correct. He's like, the guy was Baker acted. I don't know why they didn't have him involuntarily committed, because clearly he had a history of mental instability, which is true. My point has always been, okay, using this as an example, if someone completely unrelated to this sphere of people, who has no idea what this individual is going through, is responsible, then why in the ever-loving hell are the family and friends of this individual, who know this individual and who all come out of the woodwork after something horrible happens and say, oh yes, he had a history of this, or he had a history of that, or he was violent, or he talked about this or that, but nothing is said about that? Amazing. There's no idea why he wasn't involuntarily committed. But no, if you're going to accuse innocent people of murder, innocent people have every right to be like, okay, the people who knew about it, why didn't y'all do nothing? In every single one of these situations, it was like this. In every one. You know, this... And DeSantis said, he's like, he should have been ineligible, but they didn't involuntarily commit him. And the guy kept going, no, that's not true. Actually, that's 1,000% true. This guy has no idea what he's talking about. Good for him for not dealing with this and not being and not playing along with this. I'm done with it. You know, you don't get to falsely accuse people like this. And like I said, I knew a little something about it. And I'll never forget sitting there on the Parkland stage, and I'm sitting next to this POS. You want to talk about bad cops? Boy, nobody hates bad cops more than good cops, and also Dana Loesch. Because I sat next to one of the worst. On stage at that CNN town hall. And that fat SOB sitting next to me on the stage tried to blame me for his inaction. Dude had how many calls in? Warning him about this killer. The family had even called this dude, warning him about the killer. Saying the guy had, this murderer had even knocked the teeth out of his mom's head. They did nothing. And you know, at Parkland in the lead up to this, because you know that there was someone from, I think it was retired Secret Service, that had a child that went to that school, and they conducted a safety experiment. In fact, this came out in one of the books after all of this, and it was something that was also discussed by the commission, the Stoneman Douglas Commission, that was formed in the wake of this tragedy. This retired Secret Service member went through the school with a stack of Post-its, was able to just walk in the school, doors were open, nothing was locked, and then put Post-its on students, just went up and just touched students and put Post-its on them, and then afterwards went to the school administration and said, if I had been a killer, every single one of these students would have been a casualty. The media worked overtime to make sure that didn't come out, because they were too busy trying to politicize it to take away your guns. And they're still giving the superintendent of that school, Robert Runcie, he was the guy, he knew about this murderer too. You know, the murderer at that school literally had to have a babysitter go to the school with him because he was so violent. I bet you didn't know that either, did you? But no, you got to give up your guns because the school couldn't be prevailed upon to lock their damn doors and keep their students safe. You got to give up your guns and you have to become more vulnerable to the criminals that the restorative justice that all of these activists support enable and empower. Now, Robert Runcie, he's the guy who decided, he came up with the whole idea that if you don't report the crime, it looks like you've reduced it. No joke. So he just stopped reporting crime that students at the school were committing. That was something else the commission also put in its final report. And he was still getting awards from Obama's Department of Education about this. No joke. Oh, Robert Runcie is just the icon of reducing the number of reports in the school-to-prison pipeline. He didn't reform behavior. He literally stopped reporting it. That's a fact. But no, you got to give up your guns. Unbelievable. So long story short, DeSantis was totally right. And I always love it when people so discourteously make such an accusation and then they act like the victims when you respond with equal discourteousness. I don't play that either, and neither should you, and I'm glad he doesn't. Some of the other things we're hitting on. Speaking of firearms. Yeah, I'm really not interested in hearing anything from the left on any kind of gun, anything. Notice how quiet they, all those, all of the kept women there in Moms Demand. The group that was created by Michael Bloomberg, who had the URL before he was able to lure the former Monsanto PR person who went out and was defending Monsanto against Roundup. Mm-hmm. Before he was able to hire that person to front this, you know, quote unquote, or grassroots organization. They've been completely silent on this whole issue with Hunter Biden. In fact, most Democrats have been entirely silent on this whole issue with Hunter Biden. Even after Hunter Biden threatened that he was going to try to actually claim that he couldn't have been ineligible because using drugs can't make you ineligible. He was actually, I mean, he still may, you don't know, he still may try to actually use it as a defense. I'm going to pop all the popcorn in the world for that. Democrats will, with this flabby crack addict, destroy their entire argument on gun control. Pop the popcorn because I'm here for it. And that's what it looks like. So this gun charge, pull this up. This is just wild to me. So it looks like this indictment could come down. I think it's going to be September 29th, they said. So you have the very privileged infant baby, 50-something-year-old son of Joe Biden. Everything in his life has been handed to him on a silver platter, including getting away with serious offenses. So the whole thing is about the charges for possessing a firearm while he was using a controlled substance. Now, when you purchase the firearm and you fill out that form, it's called 4473. That's literally one of the questions that they ask on there. If you have a history of doing drugs, if you're currently doing drugs, etc. Lying on any part of that form is a felony. It's 18 U.S.C. 922. I want to say subsection like G, I think. And it's a felony to lie on this, right? I mean, think about this. The ATF has been bothering firearm manufacturers right now. In fact, I know a couple of them that they're actually trying to intimidate them right now actively. They go after FFLs, and if you have a grammatical error, they're going to pull your license. But on this, they all look the other way. Amazing, right? So he's going to face this federal grand jury indictment. That's what's to be expected by the end of the month, according to this filing. The Speedy Trial Act requires that the government obtain the return of an indictment by a grand jury by Friday, September 29th, at the earliest. And they said the government intends to seek the return of an indictment in this case, et cetera, et cetera. The lawyers for Hunter Biden submitted their own update. He was going to get, remember, he was going to get that sweeping immunity protection under this plea agreement that fell apart because they were being shady. Now, I'm not going to have... there's two separate things here. I'm not going to have a debate right now on the issue of drugs and gun possession because that's a whole other issue. And I'm not going to get distracted by debating that to have this hidden. So move that over because I ain't having that right now. This is Democrats demanding these laws, but then also demanding a free pass when they don't want to follow them. That's what this is about. And so this, the point of it is that if this was anybody but Hunter Biden, they would have not gotten to skate like this. Anybody. They would not have gotten to skate. Not at all. Now, I think, honestly, that you also shouldn't, you know, while I'm entertained by this, I also think that this is the least they can do. They're doing this just to make it look like they're doing something, because this will be the only thing that happens. We'll talk more about this here coming up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Hurricane Lee is rapidly intensifying into a Cat 2. It's on track to be an extremely dangerous Cat 5 by Friday. It's way out there in the Atlantic. And rapid intensification is how they're describing. They have a whole Saffir-Simpson scale. They said it has maximum winds about 105 miles per hour right now. It's still far out there. They're keeping an eye on it to see if it impacts the East Coast at all. Right now, it's bringing gusty winds and rough seas to Puerto Rico. But so far, it's still far enough away that it is not a lot of serious danger, but people are keeping an eye on it. I mean, you know, sometimes it'll go up to a cat, sometimes it'll increase, and then sometimes the winds change, and then it kind of dissipates. So, well, like I said, we'll keep an eye on it. I can't imagine this. So this story comes, this is Britain. It comes out of the Metro. Caroline Honeycomb, that's literally her name. She's apparently, this woman was stung by a horde of angry bees, a swarm of them. She was stung over 60 times. They had to put her on a drip after she went to the ER. And they said that her horse was stung 80 times. They had to have an emergency treatment from a vet. And they were on their horses near where a beekeeper was opening hives to check on honey. And then somehow all hell broke loose. And I mean, I like honeybees. Don't make them mad. Like, it's not the bees' fault. I mean, they've had some problems. Like, they've been stressed. A crack appeared overnight in Yosemite. This is it's kind of an interesting. I didn't even know that something like this could happen. Of course, by the way, I hate pop-up ads, and I will literally hate your business forever if you have a stupid pop-up ad. I can't even see the story. A crack appeared in the rocks. It's called Supernatural, and they said that Yosemite National Park put a sign out that says rock climbers have reported a new crack in a cliff on the western side of the Royal Arches. They said it's near the climbing route super slide. Subsequent investigation revealed it had a partially detached. It partially detached a large pillar of rock. So, I mean, it's a giant crack. They said it was natively occurring, and I guess that they've closed that part of the path. And I guess that portion of the cliff for climbing. Yeah, I wouldn't want to climb on that. That's what happens. Also, Wendy's has pumpkin spice frosty. Can we not? I mean, it's like 90 degrees outside still. You know, people are going to the beach. Stop.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon here with you. Make sure you sign up for Chapter and Verse, the newsletter, over at Substack, ladies and gents. Dana Lash behind the mic. So, 2024, I got to touch on this. I'm very hesitant. I don't like using leftist media to go at conservatives. But I don't think that the individual that's in the soundbite is a conservative, so I don't really have any qualms about it. But I thought this was a very interesting exchange because I've noticed the Ramaswamy guy, Vivek Ramaswamy, candidate for GOP nominee. And you guys know how I feel about this. There's so much stuff that is still, as people are just like looking at the public, and again, all public information, nobody's like getting this stuff privately. He's making it so much more difficult for himself because he can't explain why he had this 180, right? That's kind of the problem with this. And this is what I've said from the beginning. It's one thing if, because no one's judging someone from changing their mind. But what people are suspicious over, and they have every right to be suspicious over this, especially if you're a candidate running for literally the most powerful office in the world, you need to kind of be able to explain without being offended why you had a 180 on things. literally since February of this year, why on major pillars of policy, like major beliefs that usually most people, it takes them quite a bit to have that awakening. And, you know, case in point, there, this was just one issue that Vivek Ramaswamy has kind of flip-flopped on. It has to do with J6 and Trump. Now, if you've listened to the program at all before, you know, I mean, we were on air when all that was happening, so we covered it live. And I remember, I mean, we carried part of Trump's speech, and then the riot was happening, and we even carried the part where Trump had said, you know, go home, be peaceful, etc. And that's why this doesn't make sense, because in the days after that, like, he blasted, Vivek Ramaswamy didn't just blast Trump on Twitter. He wrote a whole book and had a whole chapter where he was dragging him and saying that it was abhorrent, and he blamed him for inciting a riot and all this other stuff. And he had tweeted with his own word, he tweeted it. It was the whole entire tweet. So you can't say that it was taken out of context because it's his tweet. He was saying that, you know, what Trump did was absolutely abhorrent, you know, on January 6th. Well, what was absolutely abhorrent? So he went on, I think this was MSNBC, this guy I don't like on MSNBC. And he was asked about this because, you know, apparently everybody on cable news can't bring themselves to ask him this question, except this dude for some reason. So he asks him, well, what did Trump do? You tweeted, this was your full tweet, and they posted it. They showed the tweet, so it wasn't taken out of context. It was his full remark. And he was simply saying, well, okay, can you explain what Trump did that was so, in your words, abhorrent? And Vivek Ramaswamy could not answer the question. Listen to this exchange.
You say he behaved in downright abhorrent behavior that makes him a danger to democracy. Yes, what was it that was downright?
Let's actually be really fair to your audience. So on January 10th, 2021, thereabouts, days after that incident, I wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal arguing that censorship was the real cause of what happened on January 6th. When asked in response, somebody asked me the question, that's what I wrote. I'm giving you the facts of what I said. That's a hard fact. That was published in the Wall Street Journal. When pressed on, was that condoning what Trump did? My answer was no. There's a difference between a bad judgment and a crime.
What did Donald Trump do, in your view, that was downright abhorrent? Second time.
I think that the thing that I would have done differently if I were in his shoes
is I would have declared
re-election on January 7th.
What did Trump do that was egregious, quote, downright abhorrent, and a danger to democracy? Can you just explain to our viewers your words?
So you're mixing two different quotes. But what did I think was reprehensible about what happened that day? Look, I think that the way a true leader should have handled that situation should have been to actually say, this is me running for re-election, not actually litigating what is already passed and behind us. And I would have done things differently. That is not a crime, though, what he did.
I understand.
And the reason I have been so vehement.
You keep saying what you would have done. I just want to hear from your mouth. Unless you're scared of him, why wouldn't you say what he did that was downright abhorrent?
I'm not going to let you stitching together three things from three different places. Do you want to have an actual conversation?
Yes, I want you to answer my question, Vivek. Three times I've asked it. What did Trump do that was downright abhorrent? It's a simple question. It's your words. It's on screen. What did he do that was downright abhorrent?
I believe that failing to unite this country falls short of what a true leader ought to do. That is why I'm in this race, is to do things differently than any prior president has done them. That's the hard truth, okay?
And that's what made him a sore loser and abhorrent, your word.
Well, the reality is none of that is a crime. And the reason I have been so vocal, is because when somebody actually prosecutes somebody for a bad judgment, and I've been clear.
Vivek Ramaswamy's lying. And we have the original tweet that he posted on January 12th, 2021. And we also have the book that he wrote, Nation of Victims, where he went on and on and on and on and on and on, dragging Trump for J6. His tweet, and this is what this MSNBC dude was citing, quote, what Trump did last week was wrong. This was in a conversation, a thread, specifically about blaming him for J6. He said at 4:54 a.m., January 12th, 2021, quote, what Trump did last week was wrong, downright abhorrent, plain and simple. I've said it before and did so in my piece. So he was referring to his Wall Street Journal piece, and this was his tweet. And he was trying to scrub his timeline, but he was missing some stuff. I got this from his timeline, and I have the link saved in case he deletes it, and I saved the whole page too. So he's lying because he's saying that he's being taken out of context by being accurately quoted. He literally typed this out and hit send tweet. He did this. No one is misquoting him. No one is smearing him. No one is making up a statement and attributing it to him. He tweeted this. He not only wrote about it in an editorial, he wrote about it in his book where he dragged Trump and blamed him for J6. And then he tweeted this. And so he's being asked about this. And then he says that he's the victim because he's being accurately quoted. We have enough media malpractice out there without big pharma bros bitching that they've been smeared by the media when they're literally accurately quoted. What about this tweet? Where is downright abhorrent taken out of context in this tweet? Anyone who's watching the simulcast or listening, I'll read again the tweet, 4:54 a.m., January 12, 2021, quote, "What Trump did last week was wrong, period. Downright abhorrent, period. Plain and simple, period. I've said it before and did so in my piece, period," end quote. So how is he being taken out of context here? "No, no, you're getting things from three places," he said. "No, hell no. It's just your tweet here, Slick. It's just your tweet here." And then he literally he's been complaining about this. He's on Twitter complaining about it. He goes, "This shows you the game that the media plays." What? You tweeted this. You literally tweeted it. How is this like a game? See, his past remarks are now inconvenient for him. He started scrubbing his timeline. Remember, he only stepped down from the business through which he has a number of interests with Communist Party of China businesses. I mean, Roivant. He literally only stepped down as like the chairman in February of this year. And he still has a stake in the company. He's still making fat bank off CCP business. That's a fact also. It's publicly out there. If he would like to dispute it, then he can take it up with like how his business literally files, because it's fact. He, in his book, he literally said, quote, "It was a dark day for democracy. The loser of the last election refused to concede the race." He called Trump a loser. He said that he was the Stacey Abrams of the Republican Party. He was practiced victimhood narratives. He was abhorrent. Oh my gosh, like I could go on and on. Sore loser. Oh my gosh, there's a lot in here. Now he's like, "Oh my gosh, you're smearing me by accurately quoting me." I've had him on this show twice and I was really cool. All this stuff starts to come out. Now he won't come back on. I got questions because this is disingenuous. I would have had a hell of a lot more respect for this dude if he would have come out and said, "Yeah, I wrote it. And I've maybe moderated my position since, but yeah, that's what I wrote." And then if he could explain why he thinks differently or why his view is more nuanced, but he can't do it. Instead, all he does, if you notice, this is his go-to every time. "I'm smeared. I'm being unfairly quoted. I'm being attacked." That's the same thing as the media bitching that they've been deceptively edited every single time they're accurately busted on something. It's the same thing. Stop. This is no conservative. So, yeah, that's what he said. Own it. Just own it. And then he doesn't need his little bot army or his stands out there or his press people picking fights with people who literally quote his tweet and say, "Dude, what did you mean by this?" I mean, what's the problem? Again, I'd have a lot more respect for him if he just said, "Yeah, you know, I said this, or this was the position I had, or this is what, you know, I thought, and I ended up changing my mind, or I changed my position or something." But he doesn't do that. He immediately presents as the victim, and you're the bad guy for literally asking him, "Why did you tweet this? Here's your tweet." You're smearing me with my own tweet. That's like what libs of TikTok is accused of doing. How dare you actually show the stuff we posted publicly ourselves? How dare you? I mean, it's the same thing. I just get so tired of this. Oh my gosh, so tired of this. I mean, it's not that this, you know, it's not enough that the primary started super early, but now we've got this. I mean, like I said, we've got enough problems with media. The last thing that I want to happen is for, you know, a victim mentality candidate to falsely say that they are targeted by the media and therefore dilute actual real claims of conservatives who are targeted by the media. Stop it. You don't get to appropriate what someone else is actually living. It's so frustrating.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So first up, it's from The Villages. A villager has been charged with repeatedly chugging booze inside of a Publix grocery store. Now, Emily Rachel McPherson, 35. No, wait a minute. How is she 35 living in The Villages? Hold up. Put the brakes on. Steve, I thought you had to be 50 to live in The Villages, right? Isn't that what it? Yeah, do the fact check. Steve's also our resident fact checker real quick here. I thought you had to be 50 to live. Anyway, this 35-year-old woman, Emily McPherson, she was paying several visits to the Publix and chugging liquor without paying for it. She was caught on surveillance visiting the store, drinking liquor, and then returning the empty bottle to the store shelf, according to Sumter County Sheriff's Office. Like, she legit, like, Juan says she's probably living with her folks. She was, like, going, like, repeatedly. Now, what would she drink? That's what you're asking. Okay, let me share with you. The Ranchola Gloria pre-made margaritas. Oh, girl, no. No. That's a no-no. No pre-made. No. Also, Boda Pinot Grigio. Really? She was captured on surveillance. Then she got a small bottle of wine, chugged it, placed it back on the shelf. So she didn't pay for it. She returned the next day. Then she grabbed another mini Boda Pinot Grigio. And then she also grabbed another 2 4-packs of the Ranchola Gloria. And then she walked to an aisle without cameras. And she chugged all of those. And by the way, all of that together was just $22. Like, Juan's dying. Like, why? Like, she's on $3,000 bond because, like, the amount that she drank is not even $100 total.
All right.
But she was going in there chugging this stuff. Like, girl, like, so have somebody make a margarita for you. Go, don't do that pre-made stuff. No. Oh, my gosh.
Do you want The Villages policy from their FAQ page?
Yes, please.
While The Villages is a 55-plus active adult community, we absolutely do welcome children and grandchildren. In fact, The Villages host year-round intergenerational activities as part of Camp Villages. What about that? What includes that?
So she's somebody's family. That's, yeah. Camp, maybe it was a Camp Villages thing. She just like going in. Now, David, who is in Orlando and listens to the show, he goes, yes, The Villages are 55 plus. He goes, but there are exceptions if her spouse is 55 plus. Ooh, now it's interesting. So she could be with her parents, family, or she got herself a sugar daddy. You know, I'm just saying, like, 50. But I don't know. He doesn't sound like a sugar daddy if she's, like, going in and drinking, like, cheap liquor at the Publix. I just got to say. Okay. Can we talk about the three-legged bear? Let's. So a three-legged bear, I feel sorry for it, in Florida, raided a refrigerator and drank all the White Claw. I feel like this is something Steve would have sent me. A Florida three-legged bear invades a screened-in patio of a home, raided the refrigerator, and drank all their White Claw, the hard seltzer. A teenager's reaction to seeing the bear outside of the home. Quote, oh my gosh, look at him. It's Lake Mary, Florida. It's a three-legged black bear known as Tripod. And it found its way. I felt bad for it. Now I don't. It found its way into the patio of a home. It raided the refrigerator. Did it open the refrigerator? How does it, did it, can it open it? It's missing one of its, not arms, front paws, right? Yeah. The 13-year-old son and family dog were inside the home when the bear stopped by for a visit. Fox 35 in Orlando has video of the encounter. It limped around on its three legs in the driveway. And then it, made it into the screened-in lanai near the family swimming pool, and it's on video limping around, going through the refrigerator, and then drink. How does it get the White Claw? There's no food in there. This is crazy. The bear opened the mini refrigerator door, and then the dad goes, if it knows how to open the fridge, it can open my house door. And then helped itself to the White Claw and then walked off. A drunk three-legged bear in Florida. Watch out for that one. Third hour on the way. I can't top this.
For Ukraine not only to survive, but to thrive, we're also supporting its efforts to rebuild from Russia's aggression. At the Ukraine Recovery Conference held in London a few months ago, I pledged that the United States would invest more than $520 million in making Ukraine's energy infrastructure, more than half of which has been destroyed by Russia, cleaner, more resilient, and more integrated with Europe.
Oh, boy. There you go. I don't know why we're still given why it is. That's Antony Blinken, who's saying that we're going to invest more than $520 million in making their energy infrastructure cleaner and more resilient, when we can't even do that here at home. We have no ability. We're not doing that at home. We're not doing that here in the United States. I mean, you know what? We could use that $520 million towards expanding our refinery capacities, our ability to, because that's the thing. It's not for drilling. It's the refinement process. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour with you, Dana Lash here, coming at you live from Dallas, Texas. And we got a lot to get through this hour. You can listen across the country. And don't forget to catch the simulcast as well. Channel 347 DirecTV, YouTube, and Facebook. Always good discussions. And we also have the newsletter, Substack newsletter, that you chapter and verse. All kinds of good stuff that comes out of that regularly. So $520 million in making their energy infrastructure more resilient, but not anything for ours. Okay. Kind of got some problems with that, as I'm sure you do as well. Biden's on his way to India for G20. Starts today. And high-stakes meeting. And apparently, Xi Jinping obviously skipping the event. Now, he said that he's going to use this international summit to show our warm relations with India, who's hosting it. Now, Xi Jinping is skipping it, which they didn't give a reason why, because the country's premier, the country's premier, a lower position than Xi Jinping, apparently he's going on behalf of Xi Jinping. And they said, it's an important forum for international economic cooperation, but Xi Jinping himself is not going. Biden met the Chinese leader last year at the meeting in Indonesia. So he said he was disappointed that the Chinese leader, the CCP leader, isn't attending. And they said that the plan and the agenda is not going to change because he's absent. They said it's a snub. They said that it's because the U.S. and its allies on one side and China and Russia on the other. There's no planning to meet one-on-one with Saudi leaders or Tayyip Erdogan, the Turkish president. They said that there could be a last-minute change, but for the most part, they said there's not going to be any kind of private one-on-one meetings with them. I would think that they would also want to avoid that. Biden's handlers would want to avoid that, because if you've seen him, it looks ridiculous. I don't think that he barely comes off well when he's surrounded by minders. I can't imagine what that would be like on a one-by-one with people who are looking to see what they can get from you every single opportunity. It's to the point where you can't not notice it. So people try to make excuses for it. I'm not a fan of Van Jones because he's a 9/11 truther. But even like listen to this audio soundbite 15. I mean, progressives are wondering this. Listen.
But right now, today, I think a lot of Democrats look at these numbers and say the whispers are finally showing up in this data. People are talking behind their hand. They worry about Joe Biden. Joe Biden's like that grandpa that you love, that you believe in, you owe a lot. But you start to wonder, would you give this grandpa a high-stress job for six more years, or would you want something else for him?
Hmm. It's with these high profile meetings, and when he's sitting across from these other world leaders, it's all the more apparent. So they and I'm curious as to what kind of precautions he's taking with the Rona, because that's what they're pushing here. Just wondering. Obviously, they'll talk about the Indo-Pacific, and I hope that we have strengthened relations with India as well, because I think that's a very good buffer against the China-Russia alliance. But unfortunately, Democrats, I think, are realizing this way too late. A couple of other things to hit as well. We were talking about the floating barrier, the buoys in the Rio. A federal judge ordered the removal of those barriers. Greg Abbott said that they're going to appeal that. And then you have the president that axed all the leases for oil and gas up in the Arctic. Now, as far as the congressional action, the Senate, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, as everybody's coming back from recess, the Senate is now looking to take control of the spending fight with the House. House is the power of the purse, but the Senate is trying to figure out how they can push this to fund the government, and they want to kick off the consideration of a first set of spending bills next week. Now, you got a lot of people in the House that say they're not going to consider any of this because you have a completely open border. We have fentanyl coming across the border. We have armed cartel members coming across the border, human trafficking coming across the border. I mean, we're hemorrhaging money and resources in dealing with it. And then when you send a fraction of that up to the quote unquote sanctuary states or sanctuary cities, they lose their ever loving minds. But they won't lose any money that they'll send to help pay for it down there. Notice that. So this is going to be a fight. And I don't think that the Senate I don't think that the Senate is as strong, obviously, as the conservatives in the House. There are more conservatives. And I'm not talking about, obviously, you have more House members, but I'm talking about the number of ideological conservatives and the strength of that limited government sentiment. It's stronger in the House than it is in the Senate. I mean, yes, you've got, you know, your Rand Pauls, you got your Mike Lees in that, but you have a lot more of the Thomas Masseys and Chip Roys in the House. So there's going to be a divide there. Democrats are going to look to exploit that as much as possible. But whether or not they're going to be successful, that remains to be seen. But that's how they're going to be handling that. Let's see. In China, Biden's going to miss asking. Maybe he'll be able to ask the premier of this. So the Chinese government is apparently considering a law. I feel like we're not far from this. That would impose fines and potentially jail time on people. I'm not making this up. Whose clothing hurts the feelings of other people. Yes, this is. I know that they would ban clothing that hurts other people's feelings. It was first released in a draft of revisions from the CCP's standing committee, their legislation. They want to ban a range of behavior, including dress or speech that they think is, quote, detrimental to the spirit of the Chinese people and hurts the feelings of Chinese people, end quote. Now, they haven't actually enumerated as to what that would be or what it would look like, what would be considered offensive and what wouldn't be considered offensive. But they said that, yeah, there's going to be, I mean, it looks like it's going to be pretty arbitrary, and you're going to have, I mean, there's going to be probably be a wide range, and I don't see how there's going to be any consistency in application. They're actually considering that. That's one of the goofiest things. Banning clothes that hurts people's feelings, but not the Marxism. That actually hurts people more than their feelings. It actually physically hurts them, but not the Marxism. Not that at all. That's great. Just lovely. Now, China's sending a North Korean delegation amid tensions over a possible Russian weapons deal. North Korea is celebrating 75 years of its hysteria, apparently, this weekend. And the People's Republic of China, the CCP, they're sending a delegation to North Korea. It's an envoy to celebrate their founding. And I also think they're going to go down there and snoop around to see what kind of, you know, because Shortstack has been talking to Putin. So obviously, and this comes days after they said Short Stack was going to go to Moscow, Kim Jong-un, to meet with Putin. That was reported by the New York Times on Labor Day, that he's going to meet with Putin while they're both attending the Eastern Economic Forum at Far Eastern in Vladivostok, Russia. So they're going to all meet. And so now you have the CCP sending a delegation down to snoop, to kind of check and see what's happening. That's what. And in the meantime, Biden's going to fall asleep. I can't wait to see what kind of stuff that comes out of the G20. I can't wait to see if he's going to fall asleep at another briefing, or what kind of, I mean, I'm almost terrified. What kind of disastrous press conference are we going to have? And in the meantime, it's going to come out after all of this, after the dust settles for that, his infant baby, 50 something year old child will have that, maybe have that indictment for a gun charge. Lori made a good point. She said she thinks that they're probably going to drop something else with the Trump case to distract from the Hunter indictment. Oh, I wouldn't doubt that at all. Totally. I also think that this is probably the most justice, to use air quotes, that you will see with the Hunter Biden case. This is just a wrist slap to make it look like, oh, well, we're doing something. Look, we're holding him accountable. He's not getting special treatment. But it's just the least that they can do. And it's one of the most egregious. And I also think in the grand scheme of things, it's not the most serious charge when you consider the national security that's been sacrificed because they wanted to enrich themselves with CCP cash that they didn't report. And that's what caused, the IRS to get involved. But this is the thing that actually jeopardizes, I think, Biden and Democrats the most going into an election year, particularly since they're trying to craft a couple of different pillars on which to base their 2024 messaging. And, you know, they're trying to push the economy, but they're also trying to push, once again, gun control. That's what they push every time when they lack anything else. That is always the substitute. When they have no economic wins, when they have nothing else, they default back to racism and gun control. So they're crafting, they're already pushing this because you have more ATF backdoor stuff, which we're going to talk about. And we're going to give an update on the Liberty Safe thing. But this complicates their planned narrative. So if you have him getting a pass on this, it makes it harder for them to push their agenda. So I think that's why they picked this. We have a lot more to come. We are going to give you an update on the Liberty Safe thing, because, as you know, yesterday we talked about how apparently one suspect in the J6 stuff was raided, and Liberty Safe has access codes to people's safes, and they asked the feds, show us the warrant. The feds showed them the warrant. They gave them the codes. It was a property warrant, not totally specific to the safe, but a lot of criticism. The company is being accused of Bud Lighting itself.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is an insane story. A gender reveal party turned tragic as the hired pilot crashed and was killed in Sinaloa, Mexico. This was over the weekend. It was a pilot that was hired to make the reveal. Although I think he punched the pedal on his plane and gave it too much power, honestly, for that a plane that size and at that altitude, and went into a tailspin. And it emitted pink smoke just before it crashed. It is just, can you imagine that's some of the gender reveal stuff. I love celebrating babies and I love celebrating life, but oh my gosh, just chill a bit. Not everything has to be so extra. It doesn't have to be so extra. It really doesn't. 75% of Americans are okay with the military being used to secure the border, via Daily Caller. The poll was commissioned by the Senate Opportunity Fund. It surveyed 800 likely voters with a margin of error at 3.5%. The question they were specifically asked, quote, would you support or oppose the U.S. military being deployed to root out drug cartels to prevent the continued spread of lethal drugs like fentanyl into our country? 48% said they somewhat support. 28% said they strongly support it. And majorities backed the proposal across ideological lines. It was pretty, they said that 64% liberal, 76% moderate, 86% conservative in favor of the military getting involved. Now, going and rooting out, you would have to be working with the Mexico government on that. I don't know how much of a partner that's going to be, but there's a lot of discussion to be had there. Germany has to triple its ammo purchases after giving away so much of its stockpile to Ukraine. Pretty unbelievable. Their own stockpile was depleted. by donations to Ukraine. They said they have to triple their spending on ammo purchases in 2024. That's the German defense minister. He said that in remarks to their government this week. A flight passenger, a plane passenger, felt dizzy after, I got a story about this, after a man put his bare feet on her armrest, and she, it caused her to feel ill. She was traveling, the passenger, from Vietnam to Thailand, and she started to feel dizzy, and that's when she noted that the guy behind her had his bare feet. So this happened to me one time. I got on a plane. I was going to New York, coming from New York to Dallas, and a guy, literally, I had my, you know how you can have a space behind your armrest on the plane? I felt something cold and clammy touch my elbow. This is probably about 6 years ago. And I looked, and it was some dude's nasty, hairy, totally naked foot touching my arm. And I immediately, without any hesitation, got up, turned around, and I just looked him dead in the face. And I said, if you do not remove your foot from my armrest, I'm going to punch your foot off your leg. And he just looked at me shocked. And then I guess he thought I was psycho enough to do it. And I turned and I said, thanks. And I said, and he didn't do it again. But then I totally had my wet wipes and I was totally wiping my elbow off because that was nasty. But I did. I threatened to punch his redacted foot off his leg. And I would have done it too, because that's disgusting. We have a lot more coming up. I have a funny story to share with you about parenting in the digital age too, and an update on Liberty Safe. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
And sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse, over at Substack, and all kinds of good stuff goes out there regularly. One of those, got this in your headlines too, Liberty Safe. So they're doing some damage control after they released this statement a couple of days ago, where they said that, just to give you backstory, and then I'm going to give you the update. They said on August 30th, they had been contacted by the FBI that was requesting the access code to their safe of an individual for whom they had a warrant to search the property, they said. Now, the individual, by the way, was someone who was like a suspect in January 6th, I don't know, and they, for whatever reason, I know. But Liberty Safe said that their company protocol is to provide access codes to law enforcement if a warrant grants them access to property. They said after receiving the request, we received proof of the valid warrant. And they said only then did we provide them with the access code. They had no details about the investigation, etc. And there were a lot of questions that people had because they... I mean, a warrant for the property. And then, you know, when you look at the J6 stuff, I was highlighting to you how it seems to be a two-tiered system of justice. I mean, you have this guy who wasn't even there at the Capitol on the day of January 6th. He got 22 years. And then you had the Department of Justice, Biden's Department of Justice, who intervened last year in the sentencing of a BLM rioter who was on video setting fire to a pawn shop that killed a father of five. And the DOJ literally intervened on his behalf, had the sentence reduced to 10 years. And they quoted Martin Luther King Jr.'s comment to this Mike Wallace in this 1966 interview where he said a riot is the language of the unheard, as a, you know, to have some leniency on this guy. So yeah, there's a total, you know, double, two tiers of justice here. So a lot of people have concerns about that, justifiably, because I think one of the things that we cannot take for granted anymore, if you've seen the way that the DOJ has politicized law, you see how red flags have reduced evidentiary standard, have removed due process in a number of states, how you have the DOJ that actually used Patriot Act constitutionally undermining tactics that were afforded to them through the Patriot Act to target parents who were simply speaking out at school board meetings and tagging them as literal domestic terrorists, the FBI, and working with the DOJ. So there's a lot of legitimate concerns that people have about the law being equally or even justly applied. And so through that perspective, you know, whenever you see stories like this, you immediately question the integrity of the request. And a lot of people were justifiably upset with Liberty Safe about this. And they said that, you know, is Liberty really safe with you? So they've had a really bad week. So they have been trying to do damage control And people were calling for a boycott of Liberty Safe. And I myself was wondering, why do you even need a backdoor access code, especially if the safe has keys? They have keys that come with it. Why do you, you don't even really need that. I mean, and then there's the whole question of why you would even have anything like electric in the first place, etc. Liberty Safe has been trying to do some damage control. So they came out, let me pull this up. So there's an update. They've announced changes. They've announced company changes for all of this that they're going to, they said that they informed their customers that they can fill out a form to have records of their access codes expunged. And in the coming weeks, they're going to release a feature that gives every new customer this option when registering their safe. So this is what they said in their statement. They said, quote, "We listen to our customers and update our products and practices in response to their evolving needs. Today, we're announcing a change that empowers customers with greater control, effective immediately. Existing customers," and by the way, I will send this out to through Substack Chapter and Verse, so you can do this if you have one. They said, "Effective immediately, existing customers can visit libertysafe.com/pages/combination removal and fill out the form to have the records of their access codes expunged. In the coming weeks, they're going to release the feature that gives everybody this option when registering their safes," because they said that we respect their choices and we want to support them in the way that's best for them. I really don't think, I like that they're doing this, and I like that they are trying to, you know, that they're, that they, you know, they said that they're going to expunge this, but then they said going forward, we'll require a subpoena that that legally compels them, Liberty Safe, to supply access codes, but can only do so if those codes exist in the system. So they admitted that they just basically did not have to give over the codes to the feds investigating that guy in the first place. So that's, I like that they're trying to rectify it. I do like that. But I understand the suspicion that everybody has and how upset people are. And, you know, I do like that, that they're trying to fix. But I just, like, why did they didn't have to handle that over in the first place then? That's what they just admitted. So I've got some questions. Here's the other thing that a friend of mine brings up. What about other safe manufacturers? What about other safe manufacturers? Do they have like some kind of backdoor access code for them as well? If it's like, if you have an electronic safe passcode, I mean, do they, what about, you know, other safe makers? That's kind of a question that I don't know if other people are asking or anything. I noticed that a couple of them, let me put this out, because Lorraine, this was Securit Storage. Securit Gun Storage said, on our safes using Secure RAM locks, we give customers both codes. We don't store or keep any access or override codes to our fast access safe. They said, we believe it's not our position to determine who has access to your valuables. I agree with that. I think that's good. And that's a good policy to have. Yeah, Liberty Safe is, they really kind of stepped in it. And I think that their statement, the other statement just, I mean, they acknowledge that they didn't even have to give that over in the first place. And I think the criticism that people have is that should have been your default position. No, you physically have to come and subpoena us specifically to get this. Now, some people have been looking at who the company was sold to. They were sold a couple of years ago to an investment firm that has a lot of, that donates a lot of money to Democrats. And I don't know why you would do that. Their current CEO, Justin Hillebrand, was a founding partner of this investment firm. I don't know why you, if you're a gun safe, if you're a manufacturer, why you would donate money to politicians that want to literally destroy your industry. Huh. So as of now, because it was a family-run company, and I knew the people who owned it, and they sold it in 2021. I don't know that I can recommend them. I wouldn't recommend them. I say as somebody who has one. I wouldn't recommend Liberty Safe. So my goal for you is to give you some suggestions, some suggestions as to who you can trust. And, you know, you're not going to be funding maxed out donations to Democrat candidates. So that's something that we're gonna put together for you and offline. All right, a couple of other things. I got to tell you this funny story, something a little different. If you subscribe to the newsletter, you get it, Parenting in the Digital Age. You guys know that my youngest son went off to college about a month ago. And there's, you know, a number of different driving apps out there that are helpful, like especially when your kids just start driving. Like when our kids first started driving, we had driver's apps, these apps that you can get, and you can sign up for like in-app purchases where it'll notify you if there's an emergency or if there's like a wreck, like if the phone, like, you know, if there's a wreck and the phone falls or something like that. And you can track like how fast they're going. And I think it's like helpful, especially when kids are first starting to drive. I also think that you have to give kids, you know, you have to give them the space to be independent for sure. And then when kids are going to college, if they're going somewhere that they drive to, especially if it's a long trip, and especially as they're getting used to driving such distances and being in a new area, I think they're kind of helpful to have. So the first year that my other son was in college, and then now the first year that my youngest son's in college, I would always, at night, I would just kind of glance at the app just to make sure they hadn't been kidnapped or any of that stuff. I just look at it at night before I went to bed, just give me a little peace of mind. And it helped me to, you know, moms and dads, you guys know this, it helps you to not hover. And plus, we live in a horrible, horrible world where morality is now considered just, you know, something to be questioned. So anyway, I was going to bed the other night. And as I do, I just open the driver app and it just shows me that he's in his dorm, right? Nothing, you know, that's usually what it shows. And it showed he was in his dorm. He had left earlier that evening to drive back quite a distance to campus. And I wanted to make sure he got there okay and that he was, you know, in his dorm and he's fine. And I saw that he had taken a little trip, you know, at night. I saw that he had taken a little trip after he had gotten back to campus. And I looked at where the destination was for his little trip, and it showed this building out in the middle of a field somewhere, right? A little bit away from his dorm. And I'm like, where in the world is this? So I looked it up on Google Maps, and it was a crematorium at night. I'm like, okay, Labor Day night, a crematorium at night. That's not, you know, I mean, I know that we're retired goth kids, but, you know, nightly visits to crematoriums, it's a little bit early in the season for us. So I thought, oh, yeah, just our kid randomly driving to a crematorium in the middle of nowhere at night. And this was the first time that he had driven solo all, you know, at night back to campus. And then after that, it showed him driving like very slowly through a subdivision, 45 minutes to drive through a subdivision for like no reason. And then back to the crematorium where people are burned, by the way, just in case you wondered. And then he finally ended up back at his dorm. So, you know, as a parent, you have this weird thing that you're looking at. And so I'm like, okay, well, it's very clear that he was probably kidnapped by cartel members and threatened with a crematorium before taken to a subdivision and forced to sell drugs door to door. I mean, that's probably what happened, clearly. And I was not happy with just freaking myself out about this. So I had to wake up my husband, who was already asleep. And, you know, he was counting sheep. He was, you know, in La La Land. And I had to freak him out, too. So he's like, text him. And our son was not happy with the fact that his mom texted him and he was already asleep. And I said, I noticed odd behavior on the drive app. Text me a photo showing me you're okay in the morning. Love you. And he goes, stop texting. It's in the middle of the night. And what he ended up doing, because I thought we are saving him, you know, from our own imaginations. What he actually had ended up doing was he went with his Eagle Scout roommate to retrieve flags for Labor Day and then bring them back and deposited them with a sponsoring business, which was the crematorium. That's not just, I mean, you have to, he's never going to let us live this down, but you have to understand how weird it is, a crematorium in the middle of the night and then taking 49 minutes driving through a subdivision. So, he'd said, yes. He goes, helping his roommate pick up flags for Labor Day. And I go, just please know how freaked out it would make you as a parent you know, knowing your kid was at a crematorium in the middle of the night. Thanks for the update. And he goes, oh, yeah, and we cremated someone. I mean, jokingly so. So, yeah. And again, he's never going to let us live that down. So those apps can be helpful. And it just helps me. I just check it, you know, before I go to bed. Or if he drives a long distance, especially because he's young. He's 18. All right. Make sure you sign up for Substack, though, because we send out from time to time non-political things, chapter and verse, that you would enjoy.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
So we see all this stuff, and we see that they are not following the science. They are trying to follow a narrative. They are trying to follow an agenda. I can tell you here in Florida, we did not and we will not allow the dystopian visions of paranoid hypochondriacs control our health policies, let alone our state.
Good. I hope that more governors stand up to this stuff. I know that they're pushing back with, I know that there's like a, I think in the Senate, an introduction of a bill prohibiting any further national mask mandates. Man, I hope that goes for planes too. I really do. I actually learned all about the filtration system on planes during the whole coronavirus, and I learned that it's actually clean, especially now with all the stuff they have in there. It's like way cleaner and safer than your house. It's like the nicest, cleanest like air system. It's like one of the things they got really good at. Yeah, you don't need that. Nobody can keep that. Gosh, it's miserable. Miserable. It's like you're being forced to wear something on your face that does nothing. Does nothing. And then you could like you could be kicked off and be barred from flight if you don't go along with it and pretend and play pretend. Weren't the left the people who were like, follow the science, follow the science? But they don't actually follow the science, do they? Not at all. Now, Kane is out until next week. And that's why you haven't heard him, because a couple of people ask, because normally they hear him laughing in the background. He is out until next week. He's taken some, he's TCB. He's doing some him stuff. But in the meantime, make sure you always got sign up over at Substack Chapter and Verse. Make sure you get the email newsletter. I send out the prep every morning. There's all kinds of good pieces that come out. And you can also find us on YouTube and Facebook, where you can like and subscribe. And you can see all of our discussions with guests on YouTube as well. All right. Steve is handling Today in Stupidity. And what have you selected, sir?
MSNBC needs to be the theme today, apparently. But Nicole Wallace had a little bit of a rant today, and she had a little bit of hot take here, so we'll see.
The reason for
I mean, look, to your point, this is my Democratic Party's fault that we're here, but they're the only ones that can save us. And the Democratic Party's response to all the voter suppression laws is, well, we'll just educate our voters. We'll turn them out. It's to adjust, is to adapt. And that's what the brain does, right? When it's hit, it adapts, it makes adjustments. Right. But it seems like it's a good moment to go to the country with this bigger argument about the Republican Party, and in terms of numbers, as the largest anti-democratic force on the planet.
Oh, for the love. For the love. Yeah, I'm not the smartest take, for sure. Folks, that does it for us today. Tomorrow is Friday. We made it through the week, and now we're in fall. It's Halloween season, officially, really. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.